Let me set up the why behind why we do this, and then we're going to dive right in. When I grew up in church, and when I'm talking about a little kid, I had what was called I was labeled as a problem child. And one of the reasons I was labeled as a problem child is I just had questions. And one of the things I learned early in church is just don't ask questions. Just believe. Don't ask questions. Just believe. Just have faith. And I was like, well, I want to, but I got a question about how to believe. And so growing up, if you grew up in a church environment, you probably got told, don't ask questions, sit down, shut up. And I just believe that God's word is living and active. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And I thought, well, that's real. And so because that's real, I feel like scripture can speak to anything that we're going through. Amen? So with that in mind, about twice a year, we dive in and we get you guys to ask questions for a couple reasons. Number one, I want to talk about what you want to talk about. And number two, if there's a consistent thread of a certain question, we're like, oh, we need to address that. Our church needs to do a series on that. Our church needs to kind of dive in. Now, just they're going to do a little poll, and you're not in trouble. I'm actually flat. Anybody peek in on the early services today and see what some of the questions were? Okay, yeah. I love that. I love that. That you're interested enough or curious enough or morbidly curious enough to look in. Here's the deal. I don't know what's coming up on the screen. Now, if you're skeptical and you're like, I don't believe that, that's fine. You be you. You have no friends. I'm just telling you, I have no idea the questions that are going to come on the screen, and we're just going to roll with it for the next 3 or 4 hours. I'm just kidding. I'll get y'all on time. Y'all ready? Is that good? Okay. Okay, we're going to have to get y'all woke up, see what kind of questions y'all got. Here we go. First one. I don't know. I guess he shaved it. I seriously don't know. But it was one of the coolest mustaches ever. But sometimes, man, you got to let go of some fashion to embrace the new. Lauren, do you know what happened to his mustache? Do what? His mustache fell out. What? Oh, the whole haircut thing. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Man, you can tell we're on fire for the Lord. That's the first question we got. All right. Next question. I've been going through a lot in the past few months. How do you know if God's pushing you out of somewhere or he is taking you through trials to prepare you for what's next? We'll give you the honest, true answer, and we'll give you some advice. The answer is, I don't know. It's not what you wanted to hear. I understand. But what I do know, Ed, can you pull up Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for me? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the reason that you're going through it. But I'll take you to two verses that I learned very early on in my relationship with Jesus. And this is the best advice from the scriptures that I could give you. Here we go. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? Let's say this on 3, 1, 2, 3. All. In other words, God, I'm going to trust you with this situation. I don't know why I'm going through it. I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to trust you with it. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All. Then he said, do not depend on your own understanding. In other words, don't try to figure it out. So sometimes we get caught in a trap trying to figure out what God's doing. But God's God. He thinks bigger. His ways are higher. And then in the next verse, it says this. The next verse. Seek his will in, let's say this word on three. All. 1, 2, 3. All. There's another all thing. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Seek his will in all you do, and then watch the promise. And he will show you which path to take. Not he might, not he could, but he will. How does that happen? Trust in him with all your heart. Don't try to figure it out. And all your seek his will in everything you do, And when you do that, he will. That's a promise. That is a promise from God in God's word. You can take it to the bank. He will make it clear to you. Amen? All right. Great one. Let's go to the next question. Let's see what we got. Wow. Does our church pay staff members livable wages? No. We're watching some of them. They might run and join the fair. Another local church has full-time staff members that are on government assistance because their compensation is so minimal. Second Chance is focused on investing in future generations, and I hope that we invest more than $20,000 a year in our full-time staff members. Yeah, we do. Here's the deal about staff, and I learned this. My first full-time job in ministry was I made $16,000 a year. And some of y'all are like, oh, that was in 1994. Some of y'all are like, oh, but that was still below the poverty line in 1994. No benefits, $16,000 a year. Because the church had the attitude, God, if you keep them humble, we'll keep them poor. So I learned a long time ago, and it's something I live by, if you find really great people and you pay them really well, they'll do a great job. For the size of church that we have, if you run the numbers through the ratios, we should have 25 full-time staff members to do what we're able to do every Sunday. We have 11. So, they do get paid livable wages. They all live indoors. They all are able to purchase clothing. And I don't think we got anybody that makes $20,000. Yeah, I thank you for, I hope, my heart is that you asking that question is you're sincerely wanting to make sure the staff members are taken care of. And they are. If you hire a really great person, they'll do the work of three or four people. And that's, I could say that about all our staff members. They're amazing. They're amazing. All right, what we got? Next question. Pull it up. Curious about the Greenville location. Will you be using Anderson Volunteers to get things started? If so, how will we sign up? Also, shout out to all the volunteers. Yeah, yeah. Jennifer, did you send that in? Did you send that in? Jennifer's our director of volunteers. Yes, we'll be using Anderson Volunteers to get things started because we don't have any Greenville volunteers yet. But that's missions, right? Anderson to Greenville, that's missions. That's our church growing. So we're going to launch that campus with volunteers from this campus. And eventually we'll get some Greenville volunteers, and it'll be their campus, and then we'll just figure out what we're going to do next. But yes, we are going to launch it with Anderson Volunteers. And how do you sign up? You go to that desk right outside when you leave, and you see Vicky. Where's Vicky? Raise your hand. Is Vicky in here? Vicky, everybody look at Vicky. Vicky's raising her hand. That's who you go see. You go see Vicky, and she'll get you signed up. And if you don't follow up, Vicky will come to your house. I'm just kidding. She won't do that. Okay, next question. Let's go. I'm dating a lot of people. Okay. Who are still, oh my God. I mean, no. Okay. This is 5:00. If you're dating a lot of people that are legally married, that right there is just stop. Don't. Is it okay if they are not divorced or have been separated for years and just don't have the money for the divorce? No. I want to go back to the I'm dating a lot of people who are still legally married. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what a lot. I mean, sounds like a side hustle to me. I don't know. I just don't think it's the best. You might be on staff at that other church that only pays 20 a year. I don't know. You might be, but no, the answer is no. No. Stop it. Next question. Why does the Bible put so much emphasis on marriage, but when we get to heaven, we won't be married to our spouse? Because marriage is the best representation of how Jesus loves his church. Ed, pull up Ephesians 5. Let's start in verse 23. And we're just going to go a few verses in. This is going to be fun. Ephesians 5, verse 23. We're going to start at verse 23. For a husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. Some of you are like, you can stop right there. That's good. But I'm going to keep reading. Verse 24. As the church submits to Christ. No, I'm sorry, Ed. Back up to verse 21. That's my bad. Verse 21. Yep. So the Bible says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now look at verse 22. For wives, this means to submit to your husband as to the Lord. Verse 23. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. So the husband leading the wife is like Christ leading the church. Let me pause real quick. How does Christ lead the church? Grace, kindness, mercy, love, compassion. Yes, am I getting it right so far, or am I missing anything? Do you think Jesus? Because I had a guy tell me, but Pastor P, my wife's crazy. Do you think Jesus hadn't had some crazy churches that he had to love? The reason the Bible teaches about the best way to explain marriage as a husband and a wife mutually submit to one another, there has to be a decision maker, and God said that's the man. Sorry, ladies, that's the way. But here's the deal. Every woman that I've talked to has said this. If she knows that her husband is connected to Jesus and listening to him on a daily basis, she don't have a problem following. That was a great place for some godly woman to back me up with an amen, but y'all dropped it. No, it's too late now. It's too late now. We know your man ain't following Jesus, but that's the best way I can answer that question. Next question. How do you find joy? Crack. I'm just kidding. I don't do crack. I'm someone who struggles with depression. As a Christian, I feel like I don't experience the joy and peace of God like so many other Christians. You're not going to like my answer. I wrestled with depression for years and years and years and years. I went on antidepressants, and I've talked to people. I've chatted with a guy recently, been on antidepressants for 10 years. I said, are you still depressed? He said, yep. I'm like, it's not working, sir. I'm not trying to be mean, but something's not working. So let me just kind of give you some pointers. And this is not what you want to hear, but it's true. You want to find some joy in your life? You want to find some joy in your life? Get some sunlight. Clean up what you eat. And drink. Do a little bit of exercise. And you would be amazed at what it does for your mind. Yes, read your Bible. Yes, pray. Yes, follow Jesus. But it's sad to me how we will put, sometimes we'll put our negative emotions on Jesus and we'll want him to fix us. And that was me. But when you're drinking 10 cans of Coke a day and eating 2 sleeves of Oreos, there's no joy in that. And there never will be. Get some sunlight. Go for a walk, lift a few weights, clean up what you eat, you'll find some joy. I promise. And get a dog. I'm telling you, man. Mine and Shannon's dog, Chance, that dog is, you can't have a bad day around him. He's happy all the time. He does laps, he gets the zoomies, and I'm like, you can be like, you want some food? And he just, last night I was feeding him, I'm like, I want to be that happy. Because I'm like, you want some of this on-sale dog food that we got at like Aldi from 28 years ago? Like, you want somebody? He's like, ah. So get a dog. Next question. I come from a more traditional background. I understand casual dress so that new visitors feel welcome. But I believe volunteers and staff could dress up a bit more, show respect for the Lord's house, set an example. Most of the ladies dress appropriately. Most of the men look as if they've come from the golf course or working in their yard. Okay. Number one, if a man comes in from the golf course, that dude looks sharp. I have fought this battle my entire ministry career. I'm just going to tell you, Jesus is way more concerned about the condition of our heart than he is about our wardrobe. Now, showing respect for the Lord, listen, I went to churches where the men wear suits and the ladies wore dresses and the sin was rampant, because as long as you look good on the outside, it didn't matter what you were wearing. You put on a coat. Listen, ladies, we know something's wrong when you say you're okay with pantyhose, because those things can't be comfortable. And there's not a man in the room that says, I love wearing a tie. You ever notice how a tie looks like a noose? You think a woman invented it? I'm just saying, God's more concerned about the condition of our heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man does look on the outside, but God looks at the heart. So I would rather have somebody that just finished their yard work, didn't have time to change, walk in here, and genuinely connect with Jesus than somebody that finished up their yard work, looked at their watch and said, I can't go to church tonight because I'm not dressed for it. Yeah, there it is. Thanks. Next question. I've been thinking about being rebaptized since rehab. I will not participate in communion because I do not feel that it's right until I get rebaptized in my new walk with Jesus Christ. Is that right or wrong? Well, if you feel like the Lord's pressing that into you, you do it. Now, let me back up. I don't know who asked this question. The fact that you would ask that question, you're totally ready for communion because your heart is in a proper place. You're posturing your heart toward what Jesus wants. Now, some people have a problem with rebaptizing. You shouldn't rebaptize people. Now, like if you got baptized the last time we did a baptism, don't get baptized again. Okay, you're good, okay? I mean, but like if somebody went through something, they got baptized and they went through a really difficult time and they feel like they just need that moment to like really solidify, I don't have a problem. Because Jesus gave us two things to remember him by. Two things. He said, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. How many times can somebody take communion? Every time it's offered. Why wouldn't we do that with baptism? Now, if you've been baptized 5 times, we probably need to talk about that. You don't need to baptize. I mean, you're soaked, okay? You are soaked in the grace of God. But if you feel like you need to get rebaptized because you were a Christian and then you went through this tough time, you didn't lose your salvation, but it was like a recommitment type thing, hey, sign up and let's get it done. We'll celebrate it as much as we celebrate anybody's baptism in the room. Amen? Yeah. Y'all are way more, this is a way more happy crowd. This is way more happy. Some of the questions might get saucy, but y'all are happy. All right, let's go. Oh, God. Okay. Let's follow the logic of this argument. It's a plant that God put here. So you should be able to use it. Well, would you wipe your butt with poison ivy? It's a plant that God put here. Now, if you're high on weed, you probably would. Some of y'all, that's just it, and you're like, oh, the rash. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I never smoked weed. I've sold it. Like I talked about last week, if you weren't here last week, you got to go back and listen to the message. I sold it, but I never smoked it. But this is what I do know. You can drink a beer and not get drunk. You can't smoke weed and not get high. Oh, silent. This must be the weed crowd, okay? I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I love the It's a plan that God made. I mean, but like, anyway. Can't smoke weed and not get high. Just
food for thought. Probably shouldn't put food for thought in there because you get hungry, and I've been told. Next question. Gross. Do you give 10% of your gross or your net? It's real simple. Do you want to get blessed on the gross or the net? That's what you give on. You want to get blessed on the net? Give on the net. You want to get blessed on the gross? Give on the gross. That is in your hands. Woo, that was good. Thank you for the easy one. Next. How do you ever get over the loss of a child? Oh, God, my daughter died 11 years ago, and I'm still struggling to get through the grief. It still hurts. Of course it does. And the honest answer is this side of heaven, you may never get over it. I've got a daughter, and I get upset when she gets a paper cut. I cannot imagine losing a child. Whoever asked this question, my heart, our heart goes out to you. I can't even imagine that kind of pain. I can tell you there'll be good days and there'll be bad days. And over time, you'll see God working in and through it some way, somehow. I don't know all those answers. But first of all, I'm super glad you asked this question. You don't have to be fake. It's okay to admit this happened and it sucks and you're struggling. But the fact that you're still in church and the fact that you're still asking that question means that God is doing an incredible work in you that you may never see the fruit of until you get to the other side. So thank you for asking this question. Thank you for being faithful. And please keep up the fight. Amen. Ooh, that was heavy. That whole empathy thing messes you up a little bit. All right, here we go. Next question. I have heard it said that individuals who have homosexual thoughts are not sinning, yet Scripture mentions men who look lustfully at women have committed adultery in their heart. How can someone with homosexual thoughts not be sinning in light of this verse? Okay. I mentioned this morning. I read a really good leadership book 5 or 6 years ago. It's called QBQ. It's called The Question Behind the Question. How many of you know that sometimes when people ask you a question, they're not asking you the question? There's a question behind the question. Y'all know what the question is right here? Is it okay to be gay? You see it? Let me be very clear about my stance on this issue. I go with what the Scripture says. Homosexuality in the Scriptures, it's called a sin. I didn't get to vote. That's what I called it. That's what I have to call it. On the flip side, if you are gay, are you wrestling with homosexual tendencies? I am so glad you're here. This is the safest place in the world for you to be. And I will never judge you, and I will never condemn you, and I will never look down on you. Because several years ago, I traded in my judge's robe for a servant's towel, and it's made all the difference in my life. And so I'm thankful that you're here. We've actually had people, you know, your church is the church where gay people can go. I'm like, I know. And judgmental people can too. Next question. What are your thoughts about Israel being attacked by so many different nations and how it relates to Revelation? There has never been a more persecuted nation or group of people on the planet than the Jews. For thousands of years, the Jews have been picked on. And this, all the attacks on Israel, think about it. Are they really fighting over that piece of land? It's a piece of land in the Middle East that's equivalent to about the, it's about the size of the state of New Jersey. So there's got to be more behind it than the land, right? The attack on Israel, and you might not agree with me on this, and that's fine. We can agree to disagree, and you can be wrong, and I can be right, and we can keep moving forward. But the attack on Israel is basically, it's just a reminder that people are rebelling against God, because the Jews are God's chosen people. Jesus was a Jew. Shocking. Jesus was Jewish. And the book of Romans chapter 11 tells us that as Christians, we've been grafted in. God didn't kick them out and push us in. He said, no, I'm going to include y'all as among my people. So all the attacks on Israel, to me, the way it ties into end times, is during the end times, the Antichrist is going to step on the stage. And one of the big things that he's going to be able to do is get the Arab nations and the nation of Israel to sign a legitimate peace accord. And they're going to think that peace is going to come to the land. And that's how it ties in, not necessarily to Revelation, but to end times. But all the attacks on Israel, it is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual attack. And I pray for my friend. I've got friends on the ground, like on the ground over there. Our church has actually given money to help build a bomb shelter over there for people that. And that 2 weeks ago when Iran did the thing, I was like, dear God, this is crazy. So did I answer the question? Yep. One more thing. Don't you love how everybody's telling Israel how to handle their business? Like if somebody invaded America, and you know it's not going to be Canada, but like if you're Canadian, I'm sorry, but nobody has ever feared your army. But if somebody was going to invade America and we retaliated, do you think we would listen to people going, now don't solve the problem, keep them happy? We'd be like, you know what, after we're done with them, we're going to come for you. I mean, I'll just leave it right. Yeah, leave it there. Next question. I stepped out of my marriage. I hate what I did. Asked for forgiveness from my spouse. However, I'm having a hard time forgiving myself. Yeah, of course. God will forgive you. But understand, forgiveness, it doesn't cost us. It did cost Jesus. So after you've received his forgiveness, ask what's next. Is it possible to step back in? I don't know. I don't know the situation. Grace is not a license to continue to do things. Grace covers us when we mess up. Okay. Next. Do you ever still struggle with drinking? If so, do you rely on specific friends, a program, a substitute activity? If not, do you feel like the obsession has truly lifted? Yeah. I don't struggle with it. I don't. And that's not a testament to me, that's a testament to the Lord. It's not an obsession. When I say God can set people free from it, now some people struggle with it all their life, and some people, they can get over it. And I don't know how that happens. I don't know why God does that, but no, I don't struggle with it. I can pound some Gatorade. I do when I'm running. I sweat like a beast, but I'm telling y'all, I don't struggle with it. Thanks for asking. Next question. If I get cremated, if you get cremated, you're going to hell. You're going straight to hell. I'm just kidding. You ever seen a horror movie? Yes? When they dig up the grave, there's just a bunch of bones. That's pretty gross, right? You ever seen somebody get cremated? I mean, not actually watch the thing happen, but like you've been, you're like, oh, what's that? That's my mom. Oh, that's a vase on your mantle. That's kind of weird, in my opinion. When we go to heaven, we get a brand new body. Brand new. Do you think God is limited by the fact that we've been cremating? By the way, we've been doing this for like 4,000 or 5,000 years. Do you think God is like, dang it,
I had big plans for Fred when he got to heaven. He got freaking cremated. I think God can handle the cremation. I think you're good. I think you're good. I do. Yeah, somebody, yeah, that's good. Next, what is your stance on it? Really? Okay. So there's a lot of people that try to use the Old Testament when God told the Jewish people not to intermarry among like the Philistines and the all the other people in the land. They try to say that's God saying you shouldn't do the whole interracial dating thing. And I feel sorry for those people because that's such biblical illiteracy. Not a problem with interracial dating. No, I'm serious. I've told some guys on this. I go, white guys, I got a problem with it. I'm like, well, let me ask you a question, sir. How do you know you're white? You don't even know your great-great-great-grandfather's name. How do you know he was white? Well, listen. I went on ancestry.com. You can't even cut on a computer, sir. You can't cut on a computer. None of us knows what race we are. And to look at another person's skin and make a judgment call. Oh, and this is what I got. I had somebody tell me, I'm just concerned for their children. I'm like, why? Because they're going to be beautiful? No, I'm serious. People that have a problem with interracial dating in the 1950s called, and they need their, no, this is not a problem. It blows my mind. I told a guy one time, yeah, I got a problem with interracial dating. I'm like, but you will go to a Clemson game and cheer for people that are not your color when they score a touchdown, but you won't have them to your house on Sunday for dinner? That's called hypocrisy. I just leave it there. Next. Why did you say on the cross, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why didn't he already know that? Psalm 22. Hold on. I'll tell you the verse. This is disputed, by the way. You might not agree with me, and that's fine. Psalm 22, verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 1. Let's read it. My God, why have you abandoned me? So was Jesus... Wait a minute. Was he asking a question? Or was he quoting a psalm? Because they knew the psalms. They knew, they had memorized most of the religious leaders. I'll just read you a couple things in Psalm 22 that might stand out to you. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I call for help? But I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their head, saying, is this the one the Lord relies on? Psalm 22 is what's called a messianic psalm. And so when Jesus made this declaration, this is him just telling the people one more time, I'm the Messiah. I'm who you're looking for. They knew Psalm 22 was a messianic psalm. So when Jesus quotes this, a lot of people say he's asking a question. I think he's making a statement. I am who you're looking for. And every person in that crowd would have known it. Psalm 22, go home and read it tonight. It'll mess you up a little bit. It talks about crucifixion before crucifixion had even been invented. It's fascinating. All right, what we got next? I have a disabled friend who's been saved but never baptized. She asked me this question. Can she go to heaven and be saved but not baptized? Well, yeah, of course. But we've just... Whoever your friend is, we baptize disabled people. And we'll be glad to do it. And we've had some people, I think the last baptism, we had somebody that had like a trach in, and they couldn't get it, so we just poured a bottle of water over their head. And
And just to let you know, I think God's okay with that. I don't think God's up in heaven with his clipboard going, didn't count. I think he's good with that. Y'all agree? Good. So, man, we'll baptize him. Next. If you commit suicide, but pray forgiveness for killing yourself before you die. Okay, first of all, we get this question every time. There's a QBQ right here, question behind the question. You don't go to hell if you commit suicide. I want to pause. Please do not hit me up with don't say commit suicide, say unaliving yourself. Don't hit me with that. I'm not going to change my language to make a bunch of people feel comfortable because that sucks. And I've been there, like on the verge. If you're Catholic, I'm sorry, but the Catholic Church came up with that whole you go to hell if you commit suicide. And it was a control thing, and I don't have time to go into all the historicity of it and all that other. I don't even know if that's a word. Is that a word? Dear God. But our opening song, if I'm not dead, God's not done. If you ask this question from a person that's been about as close as you can get without actually doing it, I'm telling you, the reason the enemy is trying to take you out is because God's plans for your life are so big and so great that the devil knows if you ever get connected with God's plan, you'll be unstoppable. And that's where that pressure is coming from. And Jesus paid much too high a price. Okay, we're going to do three more, and then we're going to wrap up. Three more, and then we'll wrap up. Three more. Only God knows what we're going to get. Here we go. I have many friends who follow questionable people on their social media. Models, exes, hookups. How important is it to bring this to light in the church? I don't want to know. I don't want to know. As this feels so prevalent in our society. It's a great question. I think who you follow on social media says a lot about you. You tell a lot about a person. Listen, social media leaves a digital footprint that is going to be out there forever. And so if sounds to me like you're dating a guy and you don't like who he's following on social medias. I'm just saying. Pastor P, what gives that away? The word models. Right? When you think of models, nobody in there thought male. By the way, income ratio for people that complain about how much money men make to how much money women make, go and take a look at how much money women models make versus men models. That dude shaving his back with that back shaver thing, he's not making that much money. I have many friends, I mean, I have a boyfriend who follows questionable people on their social media. If it makes you uncomfortable, have a conversation with them. And then if they get defensive, there might be something there. Y'all feel the tension in the room? It's good, isn't it? I like that. Next to the last question. How do I bring an agnostic friend who was over twice my age and set in his ways back to Jesus? He knows the Bible cover to cover, but claims he lost his way a long time ago. Two things. First of all, what I learned with people that are far from God is, well, let me just say it this way. I spent way too much time in my early years as a Christian trying to win an argument. And you can win an argument and lose a relationship. The best way to talk to someone who is far from God about their faith is not by making statements, but by asking questions. And not questions of condemnation, but questions of clarification in order to better understand, why are you like that?
You say something bad. Obviously, something bad happened to this person. If they know the Bible from cover to cover, but and they admit something bad happened, they probably don't have a problem with God. They probably have a problem with somebody in the church who hurt or wounded them deeply. Finding out what that is, not trying to explain, not trying to defend, it's this thing called empathy. Somebody asked me the other day, Pastor Pete, how do you feel about AI? Is it going to replace all? And listen, let me tell you something about AI. It can replace a lot of things, but it cannot replace empathy and compassion. It can't do it. It never will. And let me say this as well. Be this person's friend. Don't make them your project. Nobody wants to be a project, but people are looking for friends. I've got a lot of friends that are far. I'll tell you this one story real quick, and then we'll get the last question. I have a real good friend, and something really bad happened. And I'm not going to tell the story. Something really bad happened. And I remember him coming to me after this thing happened. He was like, man, I'm just not sure about this whole God or Jesus thing anymore. And when he shared the whole story with me, I just remember I wanted to dive in and tell him all the verses, but the Holy Spirit was just telling me, back off, boy, back off. And I just said, yeah, man, that sucks. And I watched him for about 2 or 3 years struggle and wrestle and struggle and wrestle and struggle and wrestle. And today, he's one of the strongest believers that I know. Now, he would tell you he still wrestles in his faith. He still has tough days. He still scratches his head and wonders why. But I know for a fact that he's on the other side of whatever hurt him, that thing that hurt him, and it hurt him bad. And he is walking with Jesus closer than he's ever walked before. And I'm super proud of him. And I know the person that's hearing this can get a message to that person. And you know exactly who I'm talking about. And you would probably agree with me. And if you didn't, you would. Last question. How do I know I'm really saved? It's real simple. Jesus said in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to him, you must be born again. Everybody in this room knows your physical birthday. I could walk around, when were you born? Nobody would say, I never was born. I've just always kind of been here. Now, this is 5 o'clock. That could happen. But I'm just saying, nobody would answer that question. You know your physical birthday. What about your spiritual birthday? Mine's May 27th, 1990. Maybe you can't remember the exact date or time, but you remember you're 8 years old at your grandma's Church of Education Bible School, or you're 10 years old and you're in your bedroom and your mom led you to Christ. I don't know. Here's what I do know. As you look back over your life, has there ever been a time that you recognized, I'm a sinner, I can't fix myself, I need Jesus in my life? You ask him to come into your life, gave him control, and said, I'll surrender to you. If there hasn't, tonight's the best night ever to make that decision. So would y'all stand as we get ready to close in prayer? Jesus, I just want to thank you tonight for who you are, for what you've done, for what you're doing. I want to thank you for the people in this place. And God, through the questions tonight, I just kind of feel that there's some people in this room searching. I feel there's some people in this room struggling. I feel like there's some people in this room that got some questions and doubts. Father, I pray as we sing for just a minute about how holy you are, that you would take our mind off of our issues and put them on you, Jesus, so that we could worship you, focus on you, and exalt you in this time. Jesus, I want to thank you tonight for the fact that you meet us where we are. And you love us so much that you refuse to let us stay that way. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if something hit you particularly hard and you need someone to pray with you or pray for you before you leave tonight, you can just step out of your aisle right now and walk out the back doors. We got people in our care team that would love to have a conversation with you. They would love to pray with you and pray for you, and they're incredible at doing so. Maybe you're here tonight and you never prayed to receive Christ. Maybe when I talked about that
time in your life where you prayed to receive Jesus, you can't remember that time. And so you know that tonight is the night you need to give your life to Jesus. If that's you and that's true, I'm gonna lead you in a prayer from this stage where you can invite Jesus to come into your life, and I'm just gonna ask you to repeat it after me out loud. We say it out loud because I want you to hear yourself declare these words. But you're not gonna say it alone, because our entire Second Chance family is gonna pray this prayer with you. So if you're here tonight and you wanna pray to receive Christ, you pray this out loud, and Second Chance family, let's make sure that they don't pray it alone. Just say, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I know that I'm a sinner. And I need you as my Savior.
I
believe you died on the cross. And you rose from the grave. To pay for my sins. And right now, Jesus, I declare you as Lord of my life. Come in and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed, if you're here tonight and you just prayed that prayer, before you leave, I would love the honor of praying with you and for you before you leave. So will you do me a favor? If you prayed that prayer tonight and you just asked Christ in your heart, would you hold your hand up and just hold it up real high, because I want to see it, because I want to make sure I'm able to pray. Amen. Amen. Keep them up, keep them up, keep them up. Praise God. Jesus, I want to thank you for every hand in this room right now that just went up. I want to thank you all day long. You've been saving people, Jesus. I want to pray for every person that has their hand raised. God, that tonight they would walk out of this room feeling peace and hope and joy and freedom unlike they've ever felt in their life. Because you are greater than anything that could happen to us. Your forgiveness is incredible. Your grace is amazing. We love you and we declare this in your name. Everybody that agreed said, amen. Y'all enjoy church tonight. Wasn't it fun? I'll see y'all next week for Mother's Day. Y'all have a great week.